Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom. And on this episode of Flesh in the Pan, all I really wanted to say is that I hate sauerkraut. We grew up in a world of online animation. And we're digging you out for your consideration. Bringing you the tunes that made us who we are. Flesh in the Pan. Flesh in the Pan. Hello, and welcome back to Flesh in the Pan.
Hello, welcome back.
Hi, it's you. Welcome. We've been expecting you. We've prepared a sumptuous feast of comedy musical treats for you and yours to enjoy.
Yeah, that's why people come to this podcast about animation.
It is. I mean, yeah that's one reason. There are lots of funny, good cartoons. It is good to have you back with us. Yes, welcome to Flesh in the Pan. If you would like to watch some cool cartoons along with us, you can do so at our website, flashinthepancast.com. Also, if you decide that you enjoy what you hear and want to help support us, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/flashinthepan. There will be more information about that later on. Hey, Alex.
Hello, Tom.
Have you heard of this kind of obscure musician named Weird Al Yankovic?
Sounds vaguely familiar. I might have heard like one song, maybe.
Yeah, had a couple of hits in the 80s.
Yeah.
He had a lot of fans willing and eager to turn his music into beautiful animated music videos.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to showcase a couple of those today. Funnily enough, both by the same creator.
Okay.
So we are going to be starting off by watching the fan music video for the Weird Al Yankovic cult classic Albuquerque. Big flashing images warning for this.
Oh, yeah.
Just so folks know.
I ran out into the street with these flesh-eating weasels all over my face, waving my arms all around and just running like a constipated wiener dog. And as luck would have it, that's exactly when I ran into the girl of my dreams. Her name was Zelda. She was a calligraphy enthusiast with a slight overbite and hair the color of strained peaches. I'll never forget the very first thing she said to me. She said, "Hey, you got weasels on your face." That's when I knew it was true love. We were inseparable after that. Oh, we ate together, we bathed together, we even...
That's Albuquerque. That is the 1999 Weird Al epic from the album Running With Scissors, I believe.
1999.
25
years ago?
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I was fairly sure that was right. I was checking.
25 years. So, when's the last time you heard this?
Albuquerque? I've been not in a very long time. I'd forgotten a lot of the jokes. And they got me again.
I know. It's pretty funny.
Pretty good.
There are definitely a few ways in which it has not aged well.
We'll get into that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But, for the most part, it is a classic, incredibly mundane and incredibly intense at the same time.
Yeah.
Like Shaggy Dog story.
Yeah. It's over 11 minutes long. How?
It was 11 and a half minutes. Yeah.
How?
Because he just keeps going.
Yeah,
he just keeps going and going.
If you can just keep going, then you can make a song as long as you want. Personally, once I get to about 3.5 minutes, I'm like, all right, it's going on a bit long now. I think I should probably end it soon.
Should we talk about the song first or the actual animation itself? Let's talk about the song.
Sure.
So, this is that great blend of, like, genuinely good songwriting.
Yeah.
Because even though it's a marathon, it mostly flows really well, I think.
Yeah.
And the sort of peaks and troughs of the song, like, they match the story in ways that you don't expect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the parts of the story that get that get the most attention are often the least interesting.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's, you know, this is like classic comedy writing, but it really works here.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a whole refrain about, you know, surviving a plane crash, but it's only because he had his tray table up and his seat in the upright locked position.
Yeah. Well, they tell you to do that. They tell you to do it on the safety video.
So, they do, yeah. And later on, there's like an intense fight scene that ends, that escalates into a phone call where he's just singing the dial tone message.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And that's pretty damn funny, I think. Yeah. And then by the end, it is revealed that all of this is just to emphasize how much he doesn't like sauerkraut.
That was pretty good. I like the setup at the beginning. By the time he's like talking about it again, you've kind of almost forgotten that he even mentioned completely. It to start with.
Because so much else has happened.
It's been like 10 minutes of him like winning a ticket and going to, like, it immediately throws you off because it's like, I won a ticket. And you're like, oh, it's going to be like LA or Vegas. Or no, it's Albuquerque. And you're like, okay, what? Why Albuquerque? But then by that point, when you're like, why Albuquerque? He's already moved on in the song.
Yeah. Yeah. See, before this, the only thing I knew about Albuquerque was that it's where Bugs Bunny should have taken a left turn.
Yeah.
Because, like, I didn't properly get into Weird Al until the Flash era, until like 05, 06.
Yeah, probably
06 especially, because I had a friend at school who burned me a bunch of Weird Al albums.
Those were the days.
Yeah, they burned me Weird Al and Guar albums.
Oh, wow.
And that was my musical education as a 15, 16 year old.
That really, honestly, let's be real, that kind of shaped your music taste forever.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that 2006 Guar album, Beyond Hell, still one of their best.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if you had to push me, Violence Has Arrived from 2001 is probably the peak of both funny and like genuinely rockin'.
Yeah,
but Beyond Hell has tracks like The One Who Must Not Be Named, and The Ultimate Bohab is just like a brilliant like tribute to the fan base.
Yeah.
And you're just nodding along because you don't know what I'm talking about.
I've heard Guar.
Oh, okay. Okay, I thought you were just humoring me.
No, I've much like you, I've also listened to Weird Al and Guar.
Okay. Put those hands together, though.
Ooh.
Hmm.
I mean, I think if Weird Al, I don't know if he's ever done it, I don't think he has, but I think if Weird Al really wanted to, he could probably do, like, heavy metal. If he really wanted to, I think he could do it.
Yeah, yeah. At the same time, I think an accordion version of, say, Immortal Corruptor would be pretty sweet.
Hey, that's one thing. There's no accordion in this song.
No. This is a straight up
devoid
rock
of.
And roll, rock and roll odyssey. In the style, well, okay. So this is a bit controversial among fans. Is that it like a lot of people, including the including different wiki pages, cite this as being a Frank Zappa tribute, even though sonically it's really not.
I mean, I get what they mean, because Frank Zappa did this kind of like run-on sentence kind of like humor stuff with his music, but musically. Like, lyrically, yes. Musically, not really.
Yeah, exactly. Like the, it sounds more like a Mojo Nixon.
The straight line you can draw between, like, Frank Zappa and this is like, it has guitars, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, another Weird Al song, Genius in France, is much more
Zappa-esque. Yeah.
But that's beside the point. I think this song really works as a comedy statement and as a way to close that album. It's great because if, like me, you were the kind of person that listened to albums start to finish, maybe on a little CD player that you carry around in your backpack that skips if you walk too fast, that's just a window into my life.
Some people have never experienced this, Tom. Me and you, yeah, we were right there. Some people that are like 2, 3, 4 years older than us, absolutely never. They had iPod.
I mean, I had an iPod as well.
So did I just, but...
Until I had the iPod, I made do.
But yeah, at first, portable music was on a Sony Walkman. And it was a physical CD stuck in there or nothing. You kids these days, you have all your music on your ding-dang phone. You have so many albums you can listen to. You're not stuck with just one, and you can't change it until you get home from school.
Yeah.
So I'm so old.
Me too.
Very old.
Speaking of old, this song when it was made, Weird Al himself assumed that the song would be unpopular and even hated because it's very, very long and rambling.
Yeah.
But actually, I'm just going to ask if you can read this little chunk, this small segment from the Wikipedia page for Albuquerque,
that's a lot. Okay.
which talks about its legacy.
Sure. Contrary to Yankovic's belief that the song would not be popular, it was one of the best received songs on the album. Yankovic incorporated the song as an encore to his tours. Performing the song live, Yankovic's been known to extend the song by listing off all types of donuts, including blueberry, strawberry, raspberry, blackberry, boysenberry, loganberry, gooseberry, dingleberry, hallberry, chuckberry, old-fashioned donuts, Nanaimo bars from performing in British Columbia, as well as Saskatoon berry donuts when performing in Saskatchewan. Listing more names, Zelda calls Yankovic not telling the amusing anecdote at first and even starting the song over completely after he loses his train of thought. Following the song live in Canada, Al is known to replace the dream job at Sizzler with one at Tim Hortons, of course, a Canadian donut shop. During a guitar solo of the third chorus, Yankovic sometimes introduces West eagerly, West plays Mary Had a Little Lamb instead of a real solo. Yankovic acts disappointed. West walks away acting ashamed. As of his 2022 tour, Yankovic stops the song after using the word hermaphrodite to acknowledge the word is now considered a slur and the song was a product of an earlier, more ignorant time.
Yeah, so the song is still very, very popular, and Al has evolved it according to time and place.
I mean, you don't have to stop the song. You just, like, use a different word or, like, rewrite the words a little bit.
Yeah, I suppose it doesn't scan as well, but then if anyone knows how to make a comedy song scan, it's Weird Al.
Yeah.
So, shrug. It's better than nothing, I suppose.
I suppose.
Although, like... Yeah, this album for Running with Scissors, just as a sidebar, like has more occurrences of hashtag problematic humor than you would expect from a Weird Al album.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I think that's just what was in the air in 99.
25 years ago.
25 years.
It was a different time.
Yeah. And hey. It's always funny to cut someone's arms and legs off with a chainsaw. So,
yeah.
I'm happy that the woke brigade haven't come after that yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. Wait for the call out post. It's coming any day now.
You know what, Alex?
Yeah.
These days.
If you say
you've cut someone's arms and legs off with a chainsaw,
yeah.
They arrest you and throw you in jail.
They arrest you and throw you in jail for cutting yeah. someone's long legs off.
Yeah, with a chainsaw.
With a chainsaw.
Yeah. It's political correctness gone mad.
We're cutting someone's arms and legs off.
Anyway, we should talk about the cartoon itself.
Yeah.
Alex, what do you think of the animation style?
It's very unique. The art style itself is like the way he draws the characters is like that's this person's way of drawing characters. Like it is that it, that belongs entirely to them. Like it's highly stylized.
Yeah. You can definitely see some influences. I think. Like there's some home movies in there.
Yeah, oh,
there's
absolutely.
Maybe a bit
yeah.
of bonus stage in there. Like the characters yeah. look kind of Muppety.
Yeah, they do actually. Yeah.
But this is like a solid cartooning style.
Yeah, it's a very they've got a very definite like style. And the animation itself is like also like. Pretty good.
Yeah.
It doesn't suffer hugely from like being able to like spot the obvious bits where things have been like tweened a lot. Mm-hmm. There is a couple of spots where that kind of stands out a little bit, but overall the animation's like really good and really kind of smooth and fluid, which is impressive considering like how long this is.
Yeah. Yeah, this is as long as an episode of like regular show.
Yeah,
you know, this is a lot. He does kind of get around it by not really doing backgrounds very much.
There is and that often, yes,
and often you're already seeing the main character like from the chest up.
Mm.
But, like, there's some really nice lip sync, especially.
Yes.
Which, again, like, for a song which is mostly Weird Al talking quite fast, is pretty impressive. Mm. And clearly took a lot of time to perfect.
Yeah. I dread to think how long this took to make.
Well, maybe we'll get into that a little bit later.
Okay.
But yeah, it's fun. Like it's very flash. It's very gradients. It's very curved line tool. But there are like nice little details, like when he's negotiating, let's say, with the guy at the donut shop. you can see the fryers bubbling in the background. It's just like a 3-frame loop, but it makes it look nicer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like the character design is mostly pretty fun. Definitely the work of someone who is still getting used to the medium, I think.
Yeah.
But also, like, doing a lot in terms of, like, the staging and the cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. It's very fun. And we even get a whole cameo of Al himself with just a photo of him with the mouth drawn on him at the end.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah. It's clear that a lot of love went into this.
Yeah.
And you get the feel that the creator was sort of challenging himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think because our second cartoon is also going to be from the same guy, I think for now we skip straight to the comment section.
Okay. Sure.
How's that sound?
Sounds okay, good. Then. Unorthodox, but let's do it.
Well, hey, Weird Al's an unorthodox kind of guy.
True. True.
Okay, so... Okay. If you would like to start.
Sure. Ratman9999. November 7th, 2006, gave a 5 out of 5, said, Albuquerque! I do believe I'm feeling something right now between his... is that the correct spelling of seizure? No, it is a seizure, and an orgasm. That's just the way things are in Albuquerque.
To which the creator, our weapon, responded, Yeah! Little Crumb Snatcher, which can I just say, is an excellent name for a pet of any size.
Yeah, yeah.
November 2006 gave this 5 out of 5 and said, OMG, you were the only person I know who knows about this song. I love you, lol. Haha, JK. 5 out of 5. Your lord and master, CJ.
Right. Okay. Wow.
Little Crumb Snatcher has come from a world sadly deprived of Weird Al knowers.
Mm.
Despite being, I'm assuming, a child on the internet.
Yeah.
Hey, Alex, yeah. Look who's next.
It's only Ericho from May 9th, 2016, saying, this is amazing, simply because it's great to see how far this song is willing to go. This isn't just Weird Al Yankovic's longest song, it's one of the longest songs I ever heard. Well, Ericho, you need to, like, maybe expand your horizon a little bit, my friend.
Yeah, just put on Tales from Topographic Oceans. Oh my goodness.
Oh my god. you really have no idea what's going on. It's not even really that much of a song. Well, yeah, it is a song. What are you saying? It's not that much of a song. There wasn't much rhyming. Anyone who makes 11-minute songs should be praised. Okay, yeah, I agree with that. You're, of course, the person who did all the animating. This is probably the longest animated music video longest animated music video ever made, maybe. The lip syncing is great. You have to work with a lot of material in this. I like this character.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it, but like the actual protagonist character is fun.
Yeah.
Like is wacky, is goofy. Gets a bit of the sort of cartoon crazy eyes going.
Hmm.
It is very much a cartoon kind of self-insert character, and also definitely a self-insert because in the scene where he is crawling away from the wreckage with a snorkel in his mouth, it's an autographed snorkel,
yeah.
And the autograph is that of the creator, R. Wappen. So that's cute.
Yeah.
That's cute. And the final comment we have for Albuquerque the movie is Masculine 8, who in 2007, July 19th, said, great! I discovered this song just yesterday, and I thought it would be great to make an animation out of it. Now I don't have to do nothing because you made it just fine. Congratulations, it is very funny. 0 stars.
Take a shot, folks.
Take a shot.
Take a shot.
But yes, that is Albuquerque. The movie by R. Wappen, and we are going to dive straight back into the R. Wappen swamp because he produced another animated music video for Everything You Know Is Wrong, another Weird Al classic. This also will have a flashing images warning. Have fun. What a difference less than a year makes.
Yeah.
Because, so Albuquerque, when it came out, November 7th, 2006, and it came out to rapturous applause, right?
Yeah.
Like, front page daily feature, 400,000 views, like, almost perfect score. Then this comes out in August 31st, 2007. Again, daily feature, front page, weekly user's choice, fewer views. And yet, there's so much more going on.
Yeah.
Alex, how did you react to this?
This is, like, really good. Like,
yeah,
it's somehow more impressive than animating an 11-minute song. Like, the animator does an incredible job of, like, just conveying, like, the overall message of the song. Like, it's, like, super abstract.
Downright surreal.
It is surrealist, which is, you know, appropriate for a song where everything is wrong. And, like, it's not just, like, oh, here are the lyrics, here's what's happening in the song. Like, they also build on it in the parts where Weird Al isn't singing by, like, doing stuff like, you know, a 16-ton weight that floats, or, like, a water balloon that's heavier than a bowling ball, and stuff like that. It's like...
A match being struck on the surface of water and then sinking into it.
It's really cool. It's very, very cool.
Yeah, it's great. And there are so many small touches that add to the overall, like, weird wackiness of things.
Yeah.
I like how the aliens who look like Jamie Farr just have his face. They're just... yeah. They're just, like, stills taken from his films stuck on alien bodies. That's very fun. I like how when he's selecting what time to be sent back to, one of the options is the pancake era. Yeah. I like how even at the beginning where he's just driving, the background changes like four times.
It does, yeah.
I like how when Colonel Sanders appears to him to sing... his mouth is weird and grossly distended because he's a horrible floating head. And of course, visually, it is full of little Weird Al references. Like, we see spatulas, we get the number 27, which is a recurring joke in Weird Al's music, going back all the way to the early 80s. We get so many weird little moments. Like, this kind of thing... I'm guessing part of the reason that Weapon chose to animate this is because it's a really fun song.
Yeah,
right?
It's
upbeat, it's peppy, and I will talk more about the actual composition later because there's more than you think going on. But also because it allows you to do so many weird, wacky images and little animations and just experiment with what might look neat.
Mm.
And... you can, especially the bridge section, this weird psychedelic adventurescape where all bets are off, right? It's really neat. It's really neat. I have basically nothing but good things to say about this. It's great. the only thing I could have done without is the sort of animutation style seizure vision at the end, which we had at the end of Albuquerque as well. It's like, well, this feels like, you know, just like, you know, 15 seconds of filler.
Yeah, I mean, that's
But the rest of it is great.
That may be what it is, you know. Oh, no, it's just like when you work on something and you just want to get it done, sometimes you just say, fuck it.
Sorry, I should use his actual name because this isn't the credits. Like, Ryan Kurzak. No one made Ryan do this. This is coming from his desire to make a fun cartoon, to pay tribute to a musician he likes.
Yeah.
And also to test his ability.
Yeah.
And hopefully impress an audience.
Mm.
And so there is so much that he does with it that you can tell was really fun as well as being ambitious. Like, no one made him do, like, really accurate cartoon frame-by-frame lip-syncing on a fucking space cow, let alone a person. But he does it.
He does.
Yeah. Like, no one made him add a bunch of giant eyes embedded in the character's wall watching him while he walks past for a scene that takes a second. And yet. So, yes. One thing that I wasn't able to get working, unfortunately, was there is an Easter egg at the end of Everything You Know Is Wrong. There is a replay button, but there's also like a switcheroo button. And if you click the switcheroo button, it redirects you to a Flash animation on the, sadly, now-defunct WappenComics.com, which is the entire cartoon played backwards.
Oh. course.
And that's great. I like that a lot. That's very cute. It's a shame I could not get it to work. I would love to. Also, you get a sponsored by ABS icon, sponsored by Albino Black Sheep. And that's because Albuquerque had been a huge hit on ABS when he uploaded it the previous year. And so I assume they gave him like a shout out or even helped him with some kind of technical support. I don't know what sponsored by means in this case, but that's pretty cool to see ABS like reaching out to a creator like that. That's neat.
Yeah.
And of course we get a link to WeirdAl.com as well as Wappin Comics. We, I think, should talk about why these cartoons exist.
Okay.
So I think that's maybe a bit of time for a combined flash. So, Ryan Kurzak, aka R. Wappin, has been making cartoons and animations since back in 2006, at least on Newgrounds. I've been doing comics for longer. I have been able to access some of the Wappin Comics website on the Wayback Machine, but unfortunately very little of it has been archived visibly, so I couldn't read most of the comics, and a lot of the cartoons don't seem to work. If Flash of Tears, one of you, has had more luck with the Wayback Machine and is able to access more, do let us know, because that stuff is always interesting. But there was a website that kind of... So basically, all of the embedded Flash files, the Ruffle plugin that I have on Firefox has a lot of trouble with. So you can access the pages for a lot of the animations, but they just don't seem to work. Albuquerque and Everything You Know Is Wrong were both immensely popular. He also had lots of other projects, like Bye Bye Bunny, Hello Fred the Beard, Bowling Alley, and participated in quite a few collaborations, including Shorts to Wear Pants To, a Garfield Flash collab in 2012, a Steamed Hams collab in 2018.
Of course.
And even last year, doing a segment in the Popeye Barbecue for Two Reanimate collab. Ryan is still doing animation and is still posting animation and comics. Ryan's oeuvre includes a couple of commissioned music videos, including for a song called Avada Kedavra by Nuclear Bubble Wrap. That's interesting. We've talked about them before. They're the folks behind Draining the Lizard on a Dead Gay Wizard.
Who could forget?
Yeah, so definitely in the same ecosystem as people like Andrew Keppel, and that whole sort of mid to late aughts Flash scene, which is pretty cool. So one thing that I did do, just as a thing, was I just typed into DuckDuckGo Albuquerque Flash Animation.
Yeah.
And I typed in Everything You Know Is Wrong Flash Animation. And I found a couple of forum threads, specifically on the Weird Al Yankovic, World of Weird Al Yankovic PHPBB forum, which is still live and still has posts from the last year.
Hell yeah.
And I found the original thread, dated 2004. Someone named Kevis said, "I've just read a post about some stuff and people were talking about making an Albuquerque Flash movie showing what Al says. If this was made, then lock and delete this post. But if not, how about assembling a team of Flash people to work on this? It would be a chore for one person to do this, considering the length, and that it will require some conjoined thinking to portray what Al says. If you're interested, please reply to this thread." That's from 2004. September of 2006, the thread is revived by someone named R. Wappin, who says, "I know this is an old thread, but did this ever get done? The reason I ask is I'm working on an Albuquerque Flash right now. In fact, I'm almost done." the thread is accessible. You can just read it without having an account, which is nice. And yeah, over the course of that thread, we learn that he is in college. We learn that he's been working on this for a while, that it's taking a long time to make.
Yep.
Also, by December of 2006, after it came out and people went gaga over it, the animation was linked to from Weird Al's website. He spoke with John Bermuda Schwartz, who said that it was no problem and that they would be happy to link to another one if Al liked it. So he had official permission to make Everything You Know Is Wrong, and Al liked Albuquerque.
Nice. Of course he did.
He also said he had plans to make after Everything You Know Is Wrong. He talked about having plans to make one for Weird Al's song I Remember Larry, as well as Germs, Hardware Store, and Slime Creatures from Outer Space. Mm. Although sadly, none of those materialized because college and the rest and other life stuff got in the way. There was also a recent interview. I say recent, 2020. Interview with R. Wappen on Newgrounds by someone called The Interviewer, who interviewed him about his history in Flash and animation on Newgrounds. I'll link it in the show notes. It's a good interview. But he talks about graduating with a Bachelor of Arts from Columbia, Chicago in 2010. He talks about how Albino Black Sheep was a really nice community to be part of, with lots of friendly rivalries between animators. Most important to our discussion today is him talking about Albuquerque and Everything You Know Is Wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask if you can read that, because I've been talking for a little bit and I need to take a sip of water.
Sure. All right, no problem.
So this is in response to being asked about how he discovered Weird Al and why he wanted to animate them.
Ryan says, I was on a road trip once and someone played Albuquerque and was the best thing I ever heard. When I first started learning Flash, I was trying to think of something epic to animate, and Albuquerque immediately came to mind. While I was working on it, I think I got Weird Al's whole discography off of LimeWire or something. I own a lot Classic. Of the CDs legitimately now. I listened to all of his songs over and over and had pretty detailed videos in my head for a lot of them. Everything You Know Is Wrong was one I wanted to do the most. Others that I never got to were I Remember Larry, Hardware Store, Germs, Frank's 2000 Inch TV, and Slime Creatures from Outer Space. I later met Weird Al at a book signing and knew about my videos, even asked for my business card. I'm still holding out hope he'll hire me for something someday.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah, it is.
That's really cool. It reminds me a bit of so I recently read Grant Morrison's book Super Gods, which is half history of superhero comics, but half their autobiography.
Yeah.
And they talk about meeting Adam West once at a convention.
Hell yeah.
And getting Adam West to sign some stuff and said, oh, by the way, I just worked on a Batman comic called Arkham Asylum, and Adam West just went, That's great. Hey, Grant Morrison, if you're listening, please email in flashofthepanguard@gmail.com. We'd love to pick your brains about Sea Guy. Now that's a deep cut for the true fans. Anyway, the interview is great. One really nice moment is that he's asked what the definition of animation is, and he said it's the act of bringing imagination into reality, which is pretty cool. I think that's a good way of going about the medium, because there are so many things you can do. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But outside of Flash, what other stuff has Ryan been up to? You may be asking. He has been working in animation for games and TV for a long time. He contributed to the Sonic Mania opening. He did animation stuff for Super Meat Boy Forever. Mm-hmm. He worked on Smiling Friends. He's done stuff for OKKO.
Mm-hmm.
His portfolio is full of all sorts of really cool stuff, including Planet Panic. He did a couple of music videos for Nuclear Bubble Wrap. He did work on a Starbomb music video or two.
Nice.
Including The Hero of Rhyme, which I believe is a fan favorite. He did stuff with Weeble. He's collaborated with a lot of different people and worked on a lot of different projects over the years and is still going strong. And I think he's a real success story. Some really cool stuff.
Busy boy.
Very busy, yeah. his website is still active. His Twitter feed is still active. His most recent major project is something that is kind of wild. It's linked on his website. It's called End Times, and currently exists only as a sort of prologue chapter, but it is a very ambitious comic project about the nature of the human soul.
All right.
Quote, "Every human soul is a book that contains its life's glory. Joel Christmas lives a double life, where the author of his story, who lives in heaven, the fast realm, and the proofreader, who lives on the earth, the slow realm, struggle to get on the same page. The seven spine binders, who represent the chakras, hold the book of life together. In order to become a self-actualized human, Joel must be a bridge across all seven of them, while living in the alleged end times." This is a hugely ambitious project, and includes a truly epic explainer poster for the cosmology of the 12 universal energies and the full spectrum souls, or human beings.
Okay. Holy and this, shit.
Like, this is like a novella-length exploration of this mythology. Again, it's accessible through his website. Go and take a look, because it is wild stuff.
Whoa.
Did you know that if something is known after it's done, it's knowledge? If something is known as it is done, it is living, which is knowing directly. And if something is done before it is done, is known before it is done, it is wisdom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. Makes sense.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's really wild, and I am genuinely very interested to see where this project goes.
Yeah.
He has mentioned working on an animated pilot, which would be pretty wild, given that we already know that he is good at making weird, surreal dreamscapes. Right? Like,
yeah.
That, plus an extra couple of decades of work and practice and training and experimentation, could produce something like Midnight Gospel levels of wild, you know?
Oh, Midnight Gospel is so good.
It was really good, yeah. It was really good. But yeah, that is Ryan Kurzak, still right. Very active, still doing very well, and producing some very cool stuff. Yeah, like Albuquerque and Everything You Know Is Wrong, definitely his big break into Flash. For the reception to Everything You Know Is Wrong, as we'll see in a couple of comments, was actually more muted than to Albuquerque, even though it is, I would say it is just a much better cartoon.
I would have to agree, yeah.
Mm-hmm. One thing before we wrap up the Flash is, so Weird Al is known for doing parodies of songs and also parodies of general artist styles.
Yeah.
Do you know what Everything You Know Is Wrong is about? Or rather, is
a style parody of? No, actually not. It doesn't immediately come to mind.
It's They Might Be Giants.
Is it? Oh, that makes sense. Actually.
Not only is it They Might Be Giants, but it's a They Might Be Giants style parody that goes so deep into the They Might Be Giants discography that there are specific little musical flourishes and tropes that you only really hear in They Might Be Giants songs that Weird Al does in this song as direct tributes.
Huh.
There is a... So there is a podcast called... There is a podcast called Don't Let Start, which is a They Might Be Giants fan podcast, which did a 74-minute breakdown of this song.
Holy shit.
Dissecting every single They Might Be Giants reference in it.
Wow.
And even they don't think they got all of them.
Jesus.
So it's not just a very, very ambitious cartoon, but the song itself is a very ambitious and dense tangle of reference and tribute. Isn't that neat?
That is, yeah. I mean, leave it to the guy who very accurately emulates people's styles to be like, I'm just gonna squeeze in like every single kind of musical reference thing that this band does in like 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, Yeah. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. Maybe someday we'll get to see him and They Might Be Giants perform it together on stage.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Wow. Yeah.
Both of them have done weirder collaborations in the past, so it's definitely not off the table. But yeah, my goodness. And that's everything you know is wrong. I'd say let's finish off with a few fun comments from this upload. Why not?
Why not?
If you would like to start us off.
A Laser Forever, August 31st, 2007, 5 out of 5, says, "Oh my god, you get a 5 from me. Nice animation, music with a K, simply Asiwo. Looking forward for more Flash from you."
Music is simply Asiwo.
Asiwo.
I'm always saying this.
Who isn't always saying this?
Virus Man, August 31st, 2007, gave this 5 out of 5 and said, "Awesome animation, but the music sucked. But I guess it can't be helped, seeing as Hugh made it."
Oh, I got a little Weird Al hater.
I know.
Non-believer. There are such people out in the world, Tom, if you can believe it. All right. X-Wayne Cole X from October 3rd, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Gave it 3 out of 5, said cute and fresh. This was a cute and fresh animation, in quotes for some reason, and all caps.
Animation.
The music was fitting and a funny tune. The viewpoints of the art and animation was pretty decent. Love all the colour and different scenes. Really not much to improve on this piece. It is more like a video. So no changes needed on this one. I was like, things to improve on. No changes needed on this video. Signed X.
Signed X.
Or with a kiss.
Signed with a kiss. Maybe. No changes needed on this video.
Mwah. Love you.
Kaltu. Love you, bye. Thanks for the cartoon.
Thanks, bye.
We have a couple more which Ryan responded to, so I'll start with this from Kaltoons, who gave it 3 out of 5 in April 2008. "This is random but still good animation. If everything we know is wrong, then surely you can't breath or live? A little illogical, but you're not supposed to take it seriously anyway."
Wapen responds, "Thanks, obvious man."
And finally, we have a comment from Edsworld.
Edsworld.
August 31st, 2007. Wow. Who said, "Great work, RW. That was seriously incredible work, especially the frame-by-frame lip-sync you did. I couldn't blink I was watching it so closely. Smiley face. Definitely better than your previous video."
Our Wapen just responds, "Thanks, Ed."
Thanks, Ed. And yeah, I agree with Ed. It's great. It's a great time. I hope that this also got linked from Weird Al's website. I assume it would have been. I could not find proof, but again, it's great. And I'm certain that Al and the gang would have liked it very much. So that is going to bring us to the end of our cartoons for today. But before we get onto our listener emails, we have a little follow-up on something we talked about last time.
Gasp.
Ooh. So, in our previous episode, we had the very nice Grant on as a guest once again, and we talked about a cartoon called Invention Pioneers of Note. One of the creators of that was a man called Anthony Scodery, to whom Grant said that he had emailed some questions. At the time, he hadn't responded. He has since responded. So I am going to, I'm going to take this little interview and, Alex, if you would like to be Anthony,
sure.
And I will be Grant, and we can reenact this exchange.
Okay.
Yes, obviously, for context for this, please go back, listen to last week's episode. Last week? You know what I mean. Please.
Previous episode.
So for context for this, go back, listen to the previous episode 110, so you know what we're talking about. But I think it's a pretty interesting view into someone who had a Flash hit in his youth and then went on to a life in the tech sector. So, Anthony, hi.
Hello, it's
how
me.
Do you... How do you remember its reception at the time?
Invention Pioneer's Note was the second cartoon Nico and I did together after How to Kill a Mockingbird. Most views were from people following us after that cartoon. It was a slightly higher brow in tone, and I think it had a small cult following.
Was a continuation ever considered?
For Invention Pioneers of Note, no.
Your website notes. You edited volume 109 of The Chaparral at Stanford. Was that before or after the animation? They seem to be fairly close in time frame.
That's right. I did a lot of comedy writing in college. Awesome funny with Nico the Chappie and Stanford Gaieties?
Gaieties.
Gaieties, okay.
Yeah. Also, have you done any satirical work in any capacity more recently?
Not recently.
I've seen more recent comments saying that it predicted what the History Channel would become. How would you respond to that?
I feel similar. I think Nico and I predicted a trend very clearly. It's now called Channel Drift, and he links the Wikipedia article for Channel Drift.
Mm-hmm. And finally, your current work at GridSpace is also with collaborator Nico Benitez. How does your collaboration in the tech industry compare with collaborating on a comedy short?
Nico and I are best friends. I've had the joy of working with him on and off for half our lives on vastly different projects. Writing and engineering, in my opinion, are both creative enterprises. They are centered around creation. That sort of collaboration, I think, is often best when people are very aligned in taste and values.
Okay, thank you very much, Grant, for updating us with that interview, giving a bit more insight into Anthony Scodery. And yeah, thank you very much. How neat. So I think we should finish off this evening with a few emails. And this is also something that was instigated by Grant. Mm-hmm. Last episode, we talked about some Star Wars cartoons. And Grant asked our lovely Flashketeers to email in and tell us what Star Wars stories haven't been told that you think you would like to see. Alex, I'm going to ask if you can start with this one from Evan.
Before the release of Episode 7, rumours were that the character of Kylo Ren was a collector going around snagging Sith artifacts, one of them being Darth Vader's helmet. Meanwhile, John Boyega's character was a stormtrooper in the Remnants of the Empire, and we would see war from his perspective. As the original trilogy was pro-Viet Cong, the prequels about how populist corruption ends democracies, the sequels could have been about the war in Iraq or something. This would have made for a better Episode 7. Force Awakens is one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. Okay, sorry. Love the podcast, Evan. I don't know how you can say that when Episode 9 exists.
I mean, we don't know that Episode 9 is not also in those echelons.
I think Episode 9 is way worse. I think Episode 7 isn't amazing. I think it's fine. I wouldn't call it the worst movie I've ever seen. But, hey, we've all got our opinions. And yours is valid.
That's true.
So.
Yeah. So this one is from Guts. Friend
Episode
of the show, Guts.
The
Hi, Guts. Tom and Alex. Alex and Tom, riddle me this, they say.
Okay.
Has a Star Wars movie, TV show, or novel ever gone into Princess Leia in the time between being a newborn bab and turning 16 years old? I mean it. Have they? I don't know about the expanded universe or whatever they're calling it nowadays. Whatever. But there's all this prequel shit with Boba Fett and Han Solo, so why not Leia?
True.
You know why. It's the perfect time to do this shit. Disney owns the property. She's a Disney princess now. Who gives a fuck? She can pal around with Sophia the First or Elena of Avalor and all the other gals whose names escape me. I know there's a bunch of them, like the pink one and the blue one. You know, the classics.
Yeah.
Let this sassy space child go to space kindergarten. She solves their space problems with space smarts and space cleverness. Have I mentioned I don't know much about Star Wars anymore? I think it's more like I refuse to. I didn't even see Rise of Skywalker. The new ride at Disneyland is fun, though. Space sincerely, Guts.
I think you did Star Wars the right way by riding the Disney ride and not going to see Episode 9. I think that was probably the smart move. Yeah.
Yeah. Have I ever mentioned the circumstances under which I saw episode 9?
You might but regale the listeners.
Okay, so... hey, if I've told this story before, I apologize. Fast forward a minute.
Okay.
It's late December in 2019. My dad's in town, and I'm going to meet him for a nice meal, and we're going to see the last Star Wars film together.
Mm.
That afternoon, I have just lost my job.
Oh.
I was working in a nice bookshop, and they let me go. And so I was very, very, very sad.
I remember this.
Meeting my dad for a nice meal.
Living together at this point.
Yeah, this is about where we live together. Yeah. So I met my dad for a nice meal, and I was just very sad. And then my dad and I went to see the last Star Wars film, and I was still very, very sad. And I came out of it just in this bizarre haze. Like, that couldn't have been that bad, right? It's because I had a bad day, isn't it?
No.
Oh, no.
No, it was that bad. It's bad. It's not good. It's very bad.
It was great. The cinema was silent as we were leaving. And it had been a packed house.
Yeah. I mean,
genuinely one of the worst days of my life.
The cinema being quiet when you leave a theatre in the UK is not uncommon. But
no, but
for a
but
full
for,
house.
For something like this, compared to like after I saw Endgame, right?
Yeah. Oh, I remember. Did we? Yeah. No, we didn't. We didn't go see that together.
No.
No.
But...
No, we didn't.
Anyway. So anyway, that's my Star Wars story.
I don't have an interesting Star Wars story. I don't.
That's okay.
Think.
Have you dressed your cat up like any like a baby Yoda yet?
Oh no, she would kill me. She'd fully rip my face off if I even try to put like a pony hat on her. So that's
okay.
Just not.
She'll never be glup shitter.
No.
That's probably for the best. No. Anyway, here is an email from Colin. Hi, Colin.
Hi, Colin. Colin says, I want to see a story from a non-human senator's perspective of the Republic during the Clone Wars, specifically one who doesn't really start out having any fascist ideals, but due to the growing popularity of Palpatine and his vision for the Republic, is pressured more and more into allowing them to seep into his policies and, more dangerously, his actual personality. Oh, I see. You want politics shit. Hell yeah.
Uh-huh.
As most of us know, the Empire wasn't exactly too keen on non-human rights, so having a story of a guy who slowly and not realizing that they've joined the Pampers who eat your face party only to have the Pampers eat his face, I feel would be really interesting. A sort of cautionary tale about the dangers of fascism and how they might not affect you in the short term will really come to bite you in the ass in the long game. Signed, Colin Galon Zombie Dyson.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, I've heard that Andor.
I was about to say, yeah,
to interesting places with
Andor
the politics, but I didn't watch it.
Is often cited as being interesting in this kind of way. It was one of very few Star Wars things that's come out in like the last 3-4 years where like it was almost unanimously like, no, yeah, this is good. Well, I also have not seen it, and I would like to correct that at some point because I enjoy Star Wars. I wouldn't call myself like a massive fan. I've like seen all of the movies and played one or two games, but like, you know, I'm not like I don't super know like the lore and shit. Like I don't really care.
Yeah. And we have one more. I think we have time for one more. This is from Arp. Arp tells us, I want to see a Star Wars Doctor Who multiple episode crossover.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Yeah.
Arp is absolutely pandering to previous guest Grant with this email.
A little bit, yeah.
They continued, the plot would be that it's an AU where the Rebellion never got the Death Star plans, and so for the future to be properly maintained, the Doctor and companions have to destroy the first Death Star. This is just an excuse for the TARDIS to do a Death Star trench run.
Yeah, it is.
Also, the Doctor only means to disable it so the Rebellion can escape, but an overzealous Imperial officer demands the laser be fired anyways, which causes it to destroy itself. Then they have to hunt down Luke and Obi-Wan to... Then they have to hunt down Luke and Obi-Wan so Luke can get his training in off... Sorry, this is bad. Then they have to hunt down Luke and Obi-Wan so Luke can get his training in order to defeat Vader and the Emperor. But it turns out that the Doctor and Yoda have some past beef they have to work out. It would end with the Doctor convincing Vader that he's wrong and can still be redeemed, while his companion Axel kicks the Emperor down that one shaft. They all escape and live happily ever after. It would make a more $1 billion and everyone would hate it.
I was going to say, could you imagine the fucking, like, implosion that would happen if we actually got, like, official Doctor Who holding a lightsaber? I think a server would blow up somewhere.
So, one thing I should mention in terms of Doctor Who, is that from what I have heard, I have not seen it myself, but from what I have heard, a recent episode of Doctor Who did feature Richard E. Grant as a past incarnation, thus canonizing Scream of the Shulker.
Okay. All right. Let's go.
That's so fucking weird. All bets are off. All bets are off. It's Doctor Who, baby. Awoo! I think that's going to do it for our emails. I will say that I would like people to email in, as always, please. Questions, comments, love mail, hate mail. Suggest more cartoons for us. I forgot to mention, these cartoons were suggested by Becky in the Discord, and also by Jacob. So thank you to both of you for putting these back on our radar.
Thank you.
And hey, like, if it weren't for our Fracture Tier suggestions, we would have a lot less to talk about. So thank you for keeping that engine fueled. And if you want to keep our engine fueled, you can help us with emails, flashinthepancast@gmail.com, including this episode's prompt. I would like you folks to email in, and in honor of Albuquerque, tell us the best song about something completely inconsequential.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like that.
flashinthepancast@gmail.com. The best song about something mundane. And hey, thank you so much for joining us. This is the part of the show where we thank each other and we tell you, lovely Flash and Tears, where you can find us on the internet. Alex, go.
Wow. You can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/DEX01. It's mostly just me posting when I go live on Twitch. That is pretty much it.
You go live on Twitch?
I go live on Twitch. Speaking of which, twitch.tv/xsplashzonex for very regular weekend streams. Except for when one of us is busy and then we don't stream, but mostly weekends we do stream. We've now started streaming on Friday, which is today when I'm recording this. I will be going live on Twitch in less than 2 hours after this is done. And then we also stream on Saturday and Sunday. We stream a lot of different and cool games. I'm very excited to get into some more games now that we are streaming on a Friday too, because then we're not just limited to like one stream each a week, which is fun. And then I'm on the B-Sky, the Bisky.
The Bisky, the Chost.
The Bisky and the Chost. PrincessPunk.bsky.social on the Blue Sky and gohost.org/dexo1dex01. And if you like punk rock music, like DIY punk rock music, that I made, there is my Bandcamp stuff and videos of me performing with the band and videos of me performing by myself. AlexValentine.card.co. It's all on there. That's everything.
Yeah, and for an idea of how that sounds, we don't mention this very much, but it's us doing the theme tune for this podcast.
Wrote
so,
the theme tune, sang the theme tune.
Awesome. I am on the Twitter, on the Booski, on the Coast, at Gertrude Perkins, that's Gertrude, P-R-K-N-S, dot Blue Sky, whatever. You know how this
you
works.
You know how
now.
It goes.
Yeah, Flash in the Pan, still currently just on the Twitter and the Patreon. You can find our Twitter at Flash in the Pan Cast. Sorry, at... Let me try that again. You can find our Twitter at Flash IT Pancast or Flash It Pancast. You can find us especially on our website, flashinthepancast.com, where you can find links to all the cartoons we've talked about today and everything we've ever done. We've got 6+ years of episodes to go back and enjoy.
111 episodes, baby!
Yep. Hey, you know what's really fun? Email us about like something we got wrong in 2019 that we've both completely forgotten about. That would be brilliant.
Probably a lot of stuff. I'd be willing to bet. I'm willing to put money on that. Gonna be honest.
I disavow everything I've said on a recording up until yesterday. Okay, I think I'm covered.
All right. Especially considering course, we didn't record yesterday.
But of course, the best thing you can do for us is checking out our Patreon. That's patreon.com/flashinthepan, where you can follow us for updates. If you would like to throw us some money, then please do so. We very much appreciate it. Got to pay those web hosting fees and all that kind of stuff, and it helps keep the lights on. The lights on? Let me try that again. And it helps keep Flash in the Pan Towers running. If you like, you can throw us a bit more cash, get access to early episodes, and even join our Discord. Wow, our Discord community is a pretty nice place to be. As always, thank you so much to our very gracious web host, Alicia E. Goranson. You can find her writing and recording at alicia-goranson.com. And I believe... that is going to be our episode for today. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, and thank you all very much for listening. So until next time, I've been Tom.
I've been Alex.
And he gives me the room next to the noisy ice machine for all eternity.
Have a great flash.
Flash in the pan! Flash in the pan!